Let us read and hear God's word in the Psalm 34, the 34th Psalm of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, so that he drove him out and he went away. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cries, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps round those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. For those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are towards the righteous, and his ears toward the cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. So saith the word of the Lord. Fear is a powerful thing. When it comes to us, it paralyzes, it overwhelms us. It's like a cloud you carry with you wherever you are. You are afraid sometimes when you are ill of a bad diagnosis, but the greatest fear is before you come, before the doctor, when you are afraid to lose your job. The greatest fear is really when you are called into the office of the boss, of the team leader, when you are afraid that your marriage and the relationship is broken. You are afraid when your spouse says, we have to talk about something, and you realize that it's in danger, your future, what is your life. It's not easy to get rid of fears. They accompany us and they really paralyze us. Here we have the experience of David. According to 1 Samuel 21, what happens behind this psalm, as you read here in the beginning, of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech so that he drove him out and he went away, is explained at the end of the 21st chapter of Samuel. If you go back with me, we can read it together, because it's not so clear from the first words of the psalm what is meaning is as the background. In the end of the 21st chapter of 1 Samuel, says that when David was escaping from Saul, his jealous rival, He was caught up. He was discovered. And he was afraid. And in verse 10, says that David rose and fled that day from Saul and went to Achish. Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish say to him, is not this David, the king of the land? Did they not sing to one of another of him in dances, Saul has struck down his thousands, and David his 10,000s? And David took these words to heart, and was much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So he changed his behavior before them, and pretended to be insane in their hands, and made marks on the doors of the gates, and let his spittle run down his beard. Then Achish said to his servants, behold, you see the man is mad. Why then have you brought him to me? Do I lack madmen that you have brought this fellow to behave as a madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? So David pretended to be mad, but we don't know if he was mad inside. No, it was certainly humiliating. And he was not a coward. He was not a wimp. As you read, he has slain 10,000. He was a man of great courage. But he came to this humiliating situation, no? When he was in the hands of someone else. His life, his future, depended on his enemy. And in circumstances like we had these last years of pandemics, we have realized how much our lives are not in our hands. We don't have control. And we can become very easily afraid. So afraid that we don't know really what to do. And here we find that the only way David shares with us to get rid of this fear is through a greater fear. A fear of someone greater than the thing we are afraid of. It's like a swap. You have the fear to something, to someone, and you have to be afraid of someone greater than all these things you are afraid of. Many of us, including myself, in the past, have tried to change this word, to be afraid, to have fear. We think that is maybe not proper. You have to love God. How can you be afraid of him, no? And many translations have tried to find a different meaning, no? Reverence. But reverence means respect, no? And when fear is described in the scripture, it's in relation sometimes with trembling. You don't tremble before someone you have respect. It's a different reaction. Some of the translations say, instead of fear, or to be afraid, oh. But as you know, our American friends speak about awesome. And this means cool, I understand. Not at all something which makes you trembling. So I think that we have come to the temptation to get rid of this important element of fear, being afraid, because we have not understood how liberating can be to be afraid of someone greater than the things we are afraid. And David shows us here in this chapter, no? How, as we read here, he says in the Psalm 34, the poor man, verse number six, the poor man cries, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps round those who fear him and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him, O fear the Lord, you, his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. It's as if David has discovered them to fear someone greater than his danger. This moment he was threatened was an experience that was so liberating that he says that he lacked no good thing. He was no more worried. He didn't have so much concern. How is that possible? Certainly, his advice is surprising for us. It doesn't fit very much modern psychology, no? We would not think that the answer to fear, no, is to fear something or someone else, no? But this is the logic of God's word, that we can be free for certain fears when we fear someone greater than those fears, because it has a double effect. As you see here in these verses, to fear someone greater than the things we are afraid of means trust. He is taking refuge, shelter, in the one he fears. And we don't see very easily the connection, because when you are afraid of someone, you want to avoid this person. You don't want to face it. But here is a fear which finds shelter, refuge. It's like when you are a boy and you are bullied. I don't know how is your experience in school. I had that experience. And you look for the big brother, for the big friends. You can love, respect other people, but you look for the bigger one, for the strong one. And when you are afraid of God, you are afraid of the strong one, the one who has got all the power, who decides in your life when you are going to live and when you are going to die, who has all the control, all the power. This is how fear comes, bringing trust, trusting someone, as this poor man who cries and the Lord heard him and saved him, because he was able to save, to rescue him. This is something you have to experience. There are certain things in your life, you know, in your head, but until the very moment you experience that, you really don't know what they are. You can hear and read and watch films about being in love, but until the moment you are not in love with someone, you really don't know what is to be in love, no? You can know that you can be sometimes in danger, but it's in the very moment when you are in great danger that you realize what are the things. So the Lord invites us to taste and see for ourselves what it means to have fear of the Lord. Because that way, according to verse 8, we will discover that the Lord is good. So there are certain things from God you can only learn in an experimental way. When you really have that experience, you know really who is him and how is him. And David shared with us his testimony, how he discovered that the Lord was good in his fears, no? Because came this trust that someone was greater than his enemy, that there was someone powerful, even that the sword he had received when he had slain Goliath, and just before that Abimelech had given him this weapon. But there was someone more powerful than his arm to defend himself. And second and finally, you see also that this fear of God not only produces trust, but produces also, brings obedience. We have been for so long, some of us Christians, no? But we still find so difficult to obey the Lord, no? And we wonder, why? It's really so hard to obey the Lord, no? Depends, really, when you are in a situation of compromise for your faith, what you are more afraid. And you are more afraid of the reactions of your friends, of the people around you, or you are more afraid of God. Because obedience comes when you realize that it's someone greater than the ones you think so well of, and you consider that they have certain influence and power upon your lives. Here we read that, "Come, O children," verse 11, "listen to me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are towards the righteous, and his ears towards their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth." So, what makes us think about what we are going to say, what makes us aware of the importance of our deeds, is to realize that is someone greater not only than ourselves, but greater than the things and the persons we fear and we are afraid. When we do God's will is because we want to please someone who has authority upon us, someone who really can dispose of our lives, someone we are dependent of our future. And in this swap of fear, you realize that there are surprising results: trust and obedience. But you can think of that too automatically, like in the health and wealth gospel, so-called prosperity gospel. You can misunderstand these things. You read here in verse 17 that when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Does this mean that if you are afraid of God, you are not going to have any problem? You are not going to have any illness, any difficulty? Not at all, because we see here also that the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. But many are the afflictions of the righteous. So to be righteous doesn't mean that you don't have troubles, that you don't have problems. Is saying David is to know, to be aware that you can be delivered, safe in the midst of all these troubles and afflictions, that his presence is real, that his power is true. Of course, like when we meditate upon every part of God's word, we have to think about the one who has been troubled more than us. The one who was so afraid in that night that the gospel says that in anguish he saw the darkness around him so great that the power of darkness and the evil one seemed to have control of his life, of his future. In this great trial of our Lord Jesus Christ, we will see something also of a greater fear than the fear to the Romans, to the ones who were nailing his hands to that cross. He realized that he was in the hands of that God who was greater than his enemies. That prophecy was fulfilled in his lives. He keeps all his bones. not of them is broken. The Gospel says that in that sacred, holy moment of Calvary, it was fulfilled, these very words of David. And we wonder how. He died anyway. He was in the hands of his enemies. He could not escape from the cross. So that's how finally we understand what sort of deliverance is this. What sort of rescue, of salvation we are talking about. It's not about angels coming to save him from that cross. It's not really about powerful signs coming fire from heaven to his enemies around him. It's the salvation which comes through suffering, through death. Many trials we have to face to come into the kingdom of God. But in these trials and temptations, we can have this trust when we fear the Lord. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. But the Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Sometimes we are afraid of God, of course, because of our lives are so full of guilt and bad, evil deeds, that we realize that when we come before this righteous judge, the one the Lord has appointed, the suffering servant, who has become King of Kings and will be the one who will judge us, then we could not fool him. We can maybe fool other people trying to be better than we are, but he knows how we really are. And when we think about our hearts, what we think, what we are really, we feel the same. Even if all other people would know really what are our thoughts, what is in our heart, how can we not be condemned before this righteous King who has the authority of our lives? But we have this promise. It's those who take refuge in him who will be safe and not condemned. So, what is most important for us is to realize where is our shelter. And the good news of the gospel, as you know, is that there is only one safe place, and it's in the hands of the one we most fear, the one we are most afraid. He is the one who can shelter us. He is the one who can bring us refuge. So when we are afraid this week and in our lives of what is going to happen, we have to realize that it's someone greater than what we fear. And then when we find this refuge and shelter, we will realize that fears are not so great as they were at the beginning, that our hands are, our future is in the hands of someone more safe than anyone else. But remember above all that the one who's got all this power is the one who has suffered in your place. The one who is going to judge you is the one who was condemned for our guilt. Can there be greater love than that? We need to be afraid of him, but not afraid of his condemnation, not afraid of his punishment, but being afraid not to please the one who loved us so much that he gave his life for us. May we have more Him in our thoughts. May He be more present in our words. May we be more aware of His power and His shelter and refuge in the time of need. So we ask Him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. O Lord, we come before You, knowing how many things we are afraid. Afraid that we are going to be alone. Afraid that no one can save us and free us from the problems we are in. You know how impotent we are, how weak, how vulnerable we are. And we realize in times like this that we need to fear someone greater than the things we are afraid of. Father, show us that You are the shelter. You are the refuge. You are the only one who can save us. That may this fear free us from other fears. May be less anxious about the days to come, because we are more aware of Your authority and Your power, Your sovereign reality upon this earth and upon our lives. And above all, may we be aware that He who suffers in our place, He has the power to save us and to rescue us. Father, we ask that in His name, because we know that all authority and power is now given to Him. And He has even the power to rescue us in the time of need. In His name, we beg You. In Christ's name, Amen.